Certainly tonight, we want to welcome each of you to the service before us. It is good to be here. And I certainly want to thank you for your prayers on our behalf. As we have struggled through one of those little flu events, and I'm afraid maybe the event has had a little impact on my throat this evening, so I trust we'll be able to make it through the evening. The scripture passage that we had listed for the message tonight is found 17th verse of Psalm 51, and I'm just going to read that as we begin the lesson this evening. Thank our brother for prayer on behalf of the service this evening. We covet your prayers. The Lord might accomplish in our hearts tonight his plan, his goal, what he would desire. David, in his prayer of repentance, comes to the 17th verse, and he says, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." The topic we have chosen for the message this evening is broke or broken, which am I? As we look at the subject of brokenness tonight, I believe it is a subject that on one hand tends to draw us. As we look at the word, as we look at verses such as this one we have read here, I believe there is something there that draws us, something we want, something we realize that we need. There is a blessing that awaits those that walk that path and live that life of brokenness. But on the other hand, I believe brokenness presents us with a call and a demand to be totally real, honest, humble, transparent. And I think for most of us tonight, we approach that with some trepidation. Having studied this topic, I confess before you tonight and before the Lord, I am still a work in process. He's still working on me as it relates to this subject. I in no way want to stand here tonight and give any idea that this is something I have attained. It is one of those mountaintops or conditions in life that I believe we can gain. But we're going to find that we're going to need to renew that time after time in our life. Broke or broken, which am I? It's been a challenging study for me because I know that there have been times as I have walked back the path of my life and through the halls of my memory, I know there have been times when I have been unbroken. I have been proud. I have been willful. Times that I have been wounded. I was broke and I needed broken. I have concluded that this thing of brokenness is not a once and done deal. It's not something that we experience in some great burning bush experience and from there on, it's all cared for. I don't even believe it's an issue that we can address maybe two or three times a year, maybe in an examination message where we prepare for a love feast service. Rather, I believe if we are going to live the life of brokenness before God and our fellow man, there is of necessity going to be a need for us to die daily. The school of brokenness is not one that we will graduate from until that day that God takes our hand and welcomes us home to glory. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Broke or broken? Both of these sound like conditions that need a lot of help. And tonight, I believe both of them do. Unfortunately, it seems like only one of them, very often does a person realize the need for that help and seek out that help. And that is the one that is seeking out brokenness in their life. Tonight, as we consider the whole area of relationships, I guess the theme or the direction that we want to run tonight is, how does a life that is broke or wounded impact relationships and thus the unity and the harmony and the fellowship and the strength of the body of Christ? And in contrast to that tonight, how does a life that has been broken before the Lordship of Jesus Christ, how does that life impact the harmony, the health, the strength, the unity of the body of Christ? And certainly the whole area of brokenness is one that is going to impact every relationship. It'll impact marriage, it'll impact family relationships, business relationships, and so on. But our primary focus tonight would be within the body of Christ. To help us understand the difference between these two words and these two conditions, let's try and expand a bit on their definition. First of all, let's consider the thought of one that is broke. This condition is most often the result of a wounded spirit or an attitude of pride. In a physical sense, when we are wounded, we're hurt, maybe we have an injured limb, a hand, a foot, a shoulder, we have a tendency to involuntarily develop an area of security around us. We tend to establish a boundary of defense around us because we're very careful lest we be re-injured or we experience additional pain. And we may do that totally without even thinking about it. It may be totally subconsciously that we do that. When we are wounded emotionally, I think we tend to take very similar defensive action. We may distance ourselves and avoid that one that has hurt us. We may begin to share our hurts with others and begin to gather around us what we might call those of like precious hurts. But we begin to establish a barrier. We may share our hurts with others. And what maybe started out as a very innocent, unintentional accident suddenly becomes the catalyst that can lead to the polarization of the entire body. And tonight, I think it is so tragic when self-preservation is allowed to do such enormous damage to the body of Christ, but we've all seen it happen when we're broke. A wounded spirit is one that is hurting, often because the wound has been allowed to fester to the place that it begins to taint our attitudes, our outlooks, our reactions. The wise man says, a wounded spirit, who can bear? It can be painful. It can be real in our lives. I understand that tonight, and I believe that is why the Lord would call us to address those hurts in our life from His will, His perspective, with His means of grace. And I believe when we apply grace, God can help us before those wounds can become huge and festering and damaging in our life. A person who is wounded often becomes preoccupied with his injuries. His view of life is seen through the lens, the filter of those hurts in his life. Everything is tainted. Everything is blurred by that pain, that hurt, and those mental images that are a part of his hurt condition, his wounded condition. And this negative filter darkens everything, even the good things that are taking place around him. I think it is so sad when we allow one event in our life to damage us over and over and over again. But it happens, doesn't it? We allow one event to defeat us more than once. Well, this negative filter darkens everything, even the good that takes place around us. The mind of an individual is filled with suspicion and assumptions that are born of past hurts. Victimhood begins to lead to self-pity and self-focus. and soon we're wounded. We're broke. Tonight, there are several things that I really want to challenge us with as we deal with hurts that come into our lives. I want us to remember that in every one of these situations where pain comes upon or across our path, Satan has a goal, and God has a goal in that event. Satan's goal in that event in our life is to bring us to bitterness. God's goal through that event in our life is to bring us to brokenness. And I want you to keep that in mind as we move along here tonight, because as we go through life, it's important to remember wounds will happen, hurts will come. Jesus said, offenses will come. But we need to remember that as we experience these in our life, we need to remember God never wastes pain. If we're in the midst of one of those circumstances or situations or events of our life tonight, God wants to use that event for our good and for His glory. God wants to use those injuries in our life to bring us to Him, to bring us to brokenness. Brokenness is so often the result of God healing the hurts of our life. And when somebody hurts us or slights us at that moment, we need to understand we have a choice to make. We can either choose to accept that wound as a means of God's grace to humble us and bring us to brokenness, or we can resist it and stiffen our necks and begin to prepare for battle, and to do so is to start down that path toward the land of the wounded and toward a condition tonight we refer to as one that is broke. A wounded spirit is one that is hurting due to an injury, and this can be an actual injury, or it can be a perceived injury. I think honestly in my life there have been times that I suffered more from perceived injuries than I did from actual ones. And I think we all know what we're talking about tonight. I want to challenge you with this thought this evening, and that is that injuries won't wound us unless we decide that they should, or unless we choose to let them wound us. And I know that may be hard to receive tonight if we're in the midst of a difficult, painful situation. But I remind us this evening that the Word tells us, the Bible says, where sin did abound, and I'd like to plug the word hurt in there just at this point. An offense, whatever it may be, where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Jesus Himself, I believe, said, "My grace is sufficient for thee." There's something very important for us to remember as we face these kind of events in our life, and that is that when we come to Christ, we are called to die. We're to die to ourselves. As I look at Romans 6, I believe that's the picture that is given there of baptism. We are dying to self that we might experience the life of Christ and the victory of Christ in our life. And so really, when we're born into the kingdom of God, we come born crucified. We're to be dead to self. And with that in mind tonight, I would share two thoughts with you. And that is, first of all, dead men never get offended. You can walk up to a corpse in a casket and say the meanest, ugliest things about them. You could curse them. You could do anything you want. And I promise you, they're not going to respond in a negative way. Dead men don't get offended. And tonight, secondly, dead men don't get hurt. Have you ever heard a corpse yell, "Ouch"? I just ask us tonight, as we put these things together, I really believe when we get real and honest, how many of the hurt feelings, the wounded spirits, the strained, broken relationships, and even polarized families and congregations, really tonight are but evidence of unbroken men and women. And tonight that goes for me as much as for anyone here. Oh, when we're broke instead of broken, we get very intent on self-preservation. We get very defensive. Brother Frank Reed uses the thought, he says, hurt men, wounded men throw spears. Wounded men hurt or wound other men. Well, let's move on and look at the thought of pride and how it enters into this area of woundedness in our lives. As we look at pride and how it shapes the life of one that is broken, is broke or unbroken, I really believe that pride is probably the greatest root problem in the life of one who is unbroken. Pride is often the root issue of those that are dealing with a wounded spirit. You take pride out of the equation and plug grace in. Most of the time, there'll be no problem. But how often we fail to plug the right quality in there. Pride. God's word has so much to say about the sin of pride and how it impacts relationships. I'd like to just quickly run through a few here. Pride was the first sin that opened the floodgates to all other sins. We see that in the fall of Lucifer. Pride is the sin that God judged the swiftest and harshest in biblical record. We see that in the life and death of several kings, King Herod, King Nebuchadnezzar. Pride fits so comfortably in our old nature. It's subtle, often unrecognized in our lives. Pride is one of the seven deadly sins noted by the early church fathers. Pride is one of the seven things God hates, Proverbs 6. Pride is at the root of all strife and contention. Proverbs 13, verse 10, only by pride cometh contention. Nothing damages and destroys relationships like pride. Let's look at a few examples of pride eroding relationships. What about gossip and slander? Bringing others down so I can rate better. How about envy and jealousy? Do we get upset when others get the attention, the credit, the blessing? Materialism, desiring the praise and admiration of men. It's a sense of status. It's rooted in pride. Unforgiveness. How dare they treat me that way? I'll never forgive. Unless, and maybe we have our list of conditions before we'll think about forgiveness. What about excessive control, lording versus leading, being a gentle shepherd? Tonight, a person that is broke and full of pride is like a pebble on the pond. That circle of strife and damage and discord only increases with time, unless and until the broke become broken. Well, in contrast, let's begin to look and try and define brokenness tonight. As we move to brokenness, just as one who is broke is self-focused, I believe one who is broken tends to have his focus on Christ, on the kingdom, on the good of others. He has a much bigger cause than himself. Paul said, I will gladly spend and be spent for you. That humble servant's heart that is given for others versus that of self-preservation that we see in the life of one who is unbroken. As I thought about the greatest picture and example of brokenness that I could set my focus upon tonight, my mind went to the Garden of Gethsemane, to our Savior, as he wrestled that night with the choice that was before him. He knew the call. He knew the will of his Father as it related to the cross. But I see the Savior there struggling with choice, decision. On one hand, he saw the cross. He knew the suffering. He had all wisdom. He had all knowledge. He knew what was before him. The agony that was there, it says there, it brought a terror upon him. That was on one hand, but on the other hand, he saw you and he saw me. He saw our sin condition. Tonight, if the Lord had been one that was unbroken, he would have been focused on self-preservation. Tonight he had a servant's heart, and his focus was on my need and your need, the need of the souls of men. As I think about that picture there, here was the Son of God, the Creator, the one who was perfect in holiness. No sin had ever touched his life. The Son of God. All power was in his hand. He knew he could claim equality with God, for he was God. I invite you, if you care to turn, I want to read a few verses from the second chapter of Philippians. I find in this passage an incredibly challenging call upon our lives. As the apostle here points us to the Lord Jesus. Let's begin with verse 5. It says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." We could read more, but that's the gist of where we'd like to go. Let this mind be in you. And Paul goes on here to describe what that mind was, and we see it was a mind that was others-focused. It was focused on the good of the kingdom. It was focused on his future bride, the church, rather than self. Let this mind be in you. Tonight, I have to wonder if every member of the body of Christ had this mind in them. How different would things be? How different would the relationships be? How different would the unity be? Let this mind be in you. He humbled himself and became obedient to death. Humbled, obedient, dead. Those are all ingredients to brokenness tonight. I see in this passage an example of Christ, the stark difference between the prideful self-focus of one who is broke and the kingdom and others' focus of one who is humble and broken. Oh, tonight we can get so bent out of shape when someone invades our self-prescribed turf or our reputation. It's so easy to go on the counterattack. What is our reaction when somebody mistreats or rubs our fur the wrong way? What is our focus? Is it kingdom focus? Or is it self-focus? I find that a challenge tonight as we consider this thought of brokenness, as we consider relationships. One who is broke is focused on self-preservation, defending self, preserving position and reputation. But one that is broken, remember, dead men don't get hurt. They're not focused on self, but rather they're concerned about the kingdom. They're concerned about the harmony and the health of the body of Christ. How will this impact the unity of the church? How will this impact God's reputation? That's what's in the mind and the heart of one who is broken. Oh, tonight I believe dead men understand that their worth and their value is found in the cross of Jesus Christ, not in their own works or their own reputation. Their goodness. When brokenness has enveloped our life and mistreatment comes our way, self-preservation really is of little importance to us. Our concern is focused on Christ's reputation and the preservation of the unity and the health of the church and the kingdom. Tonight, when we are focused on self-preservation, I fear that we have lost sight of the good of the kingdom. We've lost sight of the good of our brothers and sisters in the Lord. What am I going to lose if I don't protect myself and defend myself? That's the question that's in the heart and the mind of one who is broke. But the real question tonight, I believe, in the heart of one who is broken is, what will happen? What is going to be lost if I do protect myself and my reputation? What kind of damage is going to occur in relationships in the body of Christ? True brokenness is a choice. It's an act of the will. It's not a one-time experience, but rather I believe it is a lifetime mindset or attitude. It's an ongoing attitude or lifestyle of agreeing with God about His will and the true condition of my heart and life. The condition of my heart, not as I see it, not as my friends see it, but as God sees it. Brokenness. It involves the unconditional surrender of my will, my plans, my pride to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. When we talk about a horse that is broken, we mean that the horse's will has been broken. It's been brought into compliance with the wishes of the master. And I believe the same is true tonight. In a spiritual sense, brokenness is the breaking of my pride and my self-will so that the life and the Spirit of Jesus Christ might radiate out from my life. It includes a willing, sensitive response to the leading, the moving, the calling, the conviction of conscience, one that has been touched by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It involves surrender. You know, only one person can sit on the throne of my heart and your heart tonight. Only one can be in control. When we're broke, man is in control. And I think we have to remember and understand that Christ will only be Lord when we allow Him to be, when we come to a place of brokenness and surrender and humility in our lives. Brokenness is a prerequisite to an intimate relationship with God. But tonight I want to remind us, we read in 1 John 1:7, words that remind us, give us a clear understanding that our relationship with God is inseparably linked to our relationship with our fellow believers. 1 John 1:7, we read, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Later in that chapter, we read, he that saith he is in the light, but hateth his brother, is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light. There is none occasion of stumbling in him. So tonight, as we look at brokenness, it really needs to be both vertical as well as horizontal. We're called to walk in the light, and I believe that speaks of living open, honest, and humble before God. Nothing between my soul and the Savior, but the Word would tell us it's not enough to be humble and broken before God. Our relationship with God will be reflected in our relationship with those around us. If we have been broken before God, we'll also be humble and broken and submissive and respective of our fellow believers. King David was a man that God honored in many ways. He called him a man after his own heart. And yet we know there was a chapter, a dark chapter in the life of King David where it seemed like one ugly, sinful event followed right on the heels of the previous one. And eventually God sent a prophet to David to open his spiritual eyes and to reawaken his spiritual conscience. And we find that David, rather than being a man who was broke and unwilling to face it, David addressed that issue in his life in total brokenness. And it's a beautiful picture, the psalm that he wrote for our good and for our admonition tonight, Psalm 51. As David cries out to God in sincere repentance, in this psalm we see several characteristics that I believe are associated with brokenness. I'd like to quickly run through them tonight. First of all is the acknowledgement of sin. When we come to brokenness, we'll not make excuse or shift the blame to others, but we'll take full responsibility for our sin. We'll get real, we'll get honest with God, with ourselves, and with others. Secondly, I see the issue of contrition. Brokenness produces genuine sorrow. Not that we got caught, but rather that we hurt God, disappointed Him, violated His holiness. That's what genuine sorrow is about tonight. Thirdly is teachability. In brokenness, we acknowledge we don't know it all, and we desperately need God to teach us, to guide us, and to lead us from the failure that we're in to the victory He wants us to claim. Fourthly is humility. Like David, when we're overwhelmed, when we see our sin in the eyes of God, through the eyes of God, as God sees our sin, we're not going to be focused on the faults of others, but rather we'll be overwhelmed with the magnitude of our own sinfulness before a holy God. I think this is such an important dimension of brokenness. I think it is such a test of brokenness. If our eyes are focused on the faults of others, rather than dealing with the faults in our own life, we're not broken tonight. Brokenness will turn our reality, it will turn our focus to our own unworthiness before God. Finally, a heart that seeks after God. Our plans, pursuits, our passions have brought us to failure. And when we come to that place where we're faced with our spiritual poverty and insufficiency, then we turn to His all-sufficiency. Brokenness tonight reminds us of our desperate need of God. So what is the path to brokenness tonight? I don't have a 12-step program to give you tonight, but I would like to share with you several things that I believe are critical if we're going to experience not only brokenness, but the blessing that God has waiting for those who are broken. First of all, we need to choose to turn our focus on the Lord. There's a powerful verse in Isaiah 57:15. It reads like this: "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in a high and a holy place, and with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Tonight God says he dwells with those who are broken, contrite, humble. When we come to understand just how much we need the Lord in our lives, I think this verse is going to grab our heart. It's going to grab our attention. Our God says he will only come and dwell with him who is of a contrite and humble spirit. If we want the presence, if we want the power, if we want the blessing of God upon our lives tonight, we need to understand how important brokenness is. Tonight, brokenness is not an option. But brokenness is a choice that we must seek and renew in our lives on a daily basis. It's a surrender that we must make. It is a path we must take. But we must choose that path. And as it relates to relationships, as it would relate to a healthy church body, choosing to turn our focus on the Lord is so important. Because when we're broke, when we're wounded and proud, we tend to have an overinflated view of ourselves. And from that lofty perch, we look down on others with scorn and with a critical eye. I had the time, I'd like to turn and read Isaiah 6. You're familiar with the story there, the vision that Isaiah saw of God in his holiness. And it is so interesting to me. Isaiah was walking along, I have to believe, in a fairly stable lifestyle. Maybe feeling like all was well in his life, but when he saw God in his holiness, what did Isaiah say? "Woe is me, for I am undone. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips." Why did he say that? He said, "Mine eyes have seen the Lord." And I tell you tonight, when a critical spirit comes into our heart and our mind and all we can see is the faults and failures of others, I tell you it's time for us to get on our knees and look to God, to look upon His holiness, because we need a different measuring stick than we've been measuring our life by, don't we? Nothing will bring us back to reality, to what God knows is the true condition of our heart, quicker than time spent gazing on the holiness of God. Nothing will reveal our true spiritual condition like a daily focus on the holiness and the righteousness of our God. Like Isaiah, when we're overwhelmed with our own heart needs and we're measuring ourselves by God's holy plumb line, we're going to lose our focus and our obsession with the petty faults and differences and the little hurts that happen around us, even in the body of Christ. Are we talking about overlooking sin in the body? No, that's not what I'm talking about tonight. But until we replace our prideful humanity with God's holiness and humility, we're really in no condition to help others. We cannot live in wounded pride and model brokenness. God dwells with those who are broken. He dwells with those who are humble. And we can never lead others to God until we choose that path of brokenness for our life. So number one, we need to focus our attention on God. Secondly, tonight is the issue of humble confession. And here I'm looking at getting honest with ourselves, with God, and with others. I don't know how it is with you, but there's something very challenging to me about this thing of being real. Being real, genuine, honest. I wonder tonight, how closely does the front or the pretense that we live before the congregation really reflect the true condition of our heart? Now, that's a question I've just got to lay before you tonight. It's one we're going to each have to personally deal with God. Are we playing church or are we genuine? Are we real? I think it's critical if we're going to experience intimacy in our relationships one with another, we're going to have to be honest with each other. You know, we long for healing in our hearts, in our homes, in our congregations. But I fear that so often we resist and turn from the very path that God calls us to walk, that we might reach that blessed destination in our relationships. And I just turn your attention to a verse that we frequently read as a part of the anointing service. It's the 16th verse of James chapter 5, and it reads this way: confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. What is God's formula for healing? And I believe tonight this can be a physical healing, this can be a spiritual healing, this can be a relationship healing. He says, confess your faults. It's getting real. It's getting honest with one another. Open, transparent, accountable. God's healing comes through humble confession. Confession speaks of agreeing with God, acknowledging our true condition, measured against His holiness, not our self-justification. It's not the pretense or the image that we hold before our people. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. I would just ask tonight, do you see any exemption there for leaders? Tonight, rather than exempting ourselves, I believe as leaders, whether it be in the home or in the church, we ought to be the ones providing the example of honesty and integrity and being real before those who are subordinates. You know, as leaders, we need to live upright and holy lives, but we also need to remember and acknowledge we are not perfect. We make mistakes, and when we make mistakes, we need to be humble enough to confess it and deal with it. And be honest and transparent. Because I believe when we are honest and allow our humility to be exposed, we will not diminish our respect, but rather I believe we'll build respect and we'll also build those bridges of relationships that will unite and strengthen the church of God. There's a quote I believe Nancy Ledemoss makes it that I want to share with you at this time. It goes like this. When we come to true brokenness, we will not be half as concerned about what man thinks about us as we are about what God knows about us. You know, we allow the fear of man sometimes to drive us along in a life of pretense, totally forgetting that the God of heaven knows all about us. He knows the truth. Do we fear God or do we fear man? Number three, he who is forgiven will willingly forgive. Like as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. One who is broke and wounded seems to be a great record keeper. You know, we tend to search and research the faults and the failures of our offender, maybe clear back to his infancy, and if we can't remember all his faults, we'll find somebody who can. And we categorize them and we record them and we run them through our mind. You ever been there? With our focus on our wounds and those who have hurt us, we lose total sight of our own incredible sin debt and what heaven has forgiven us of. What heaven has been willing to forgive us of, because our focus is locked on our hurts, it's locked on our offender. Dear ones, tonight I confess forgiveness can be costly. If it's a very big forgiveness, it will be costly tonight. I understand that. I realize that. Forgiveness can be costly. For forgiveness to take place, someone has to pay. And when we're broke, we're going to insist the other person pay. But tonight, when we bow our heart and our will in brokenness, when we do it in view of the cross of the Lord Jesus, where Jesus, as he looked upon our sin debt, said, Father, I'll pay his debt. I'll face the whip. I'll face the humiliation and the scorn. I'll die to my reputation. I'll die for him. Tonight at the cross, someone had to pay. And we need to remember that if Christ had not agreed and was not willing to pay, then we would have through all eternity. Someone has to pay for forgiveness to take place. And I believe in that setting, when we can see Christ and what he has done for us, in that setting, in that mindset, in brokenness, when we're overwhelmed with what heaven has done for us, then we can look on our offender and we can say, I'll pay. For the sake of the church, for the sake of the kingdom, I'll pay. I'll forgive. So often in the midst of a struggle, when the enemy seeks to divide us, we tend to lock our focus on the law of justice. In our mind, we decide they're going to pay. Tonight, justice is a law of God, and it's an important law. But I am so thankful that at the cross, there was another law that superseded and trumped the law of justice. And that was the law of love. Tonight, where would we be if God would have focused on justice when it came to our sins? The law of love. As you sit here this evening, if you're in the midst of a struggle, I just ask you to consider. When we come to God with our sin, if he saw us and treated us the way maybe we are treating, you can fill in the blank. If you're struggling with someone tonight, if God would treat you and would treat me maybe the way we see and are treating that individual, what would be our spiritual condition tonight? What would be our spiritual condition for all eternity? He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of his peace is upon us, and with his stripes we are healed. For forgiveness to take place, someone has to pay. But I believe if we can see our struggles in the light of Calvary and all that heaven has forgiven us of, we have an example that's going to bring healing. It's going to bring forgiveness. As we seek to experience the face of God this week in revival, I just ask us tonight, is there a more important question for us to ask? Broke or broken? Which am I? If we find ourselves broke or wounded tonight, I promise you there is a great physician who stands with arms outstretched. He's able, he's willing, and he's waiting to bring healing to our hearts, to our lives, to our relationships, to our families, marriages, churches. Broke or broken, which am I? Tonight, as we would sing a hymn of invitation, if you've never been to the cross and you know you need a Savior, we would invite you tonight to make that desire known. Stand where you are. And I would say too tonight, if you realize in your heart there is a wounded spirit, if you're broke, but you would like to be broken tonight, I would encourage you to stand. We'd love to pray with you and bring you, help you to come to that place where you have that joy that our brother spoke of in the opening. That joy, that peace that passeth understanding. Tonight, I believe it is available at the cross. As we sing a hymn, stand and be recognized. What shall we sing? 375. 375.